Perkins Media proudly presents Moms Across America, a program where women can speak their minds openly and freely without fear of reprisal. Moms Across America is about the issues of the day confronting America from a mom's point of view. And now, here are the moms.
Welcome to Moms Across America. This is Vicki Tompkins. Anne is out today. We hope to see her here next week. And also we have Dan Perkins, who is our producer of our show. So let me go ahead with my commercial. Free Constitution, moms. If you haven't gotten it yet, please get it. If you don't have one of your own like this, please get it and read it. You can go to ashbrook.org/constitution and get a downloaded copy, or you can find these almost anywhere. So make sure you get it, and not just get it, but read it. And what I want to do, last week, I read Amendment number one in our Constitution, because we were talking about rights and protesting and stuff like that, Dan. So Today, this has nothing really to do with our show today, but I think what we're going to start doing is reading some of the amendments. Some of them, like I was telling Dan, are kind of lengthy, but I think they're important, because
Agreed.
If we're reading them on here, maybe if you don't have your Constitution, you'll get one. So I'm going to read Amendment number two. And most people know about one, and they know about two and others, but this one sometimes needs a little bit of explanation. So Amendment two to our Constitution says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. And I know a lot of people out there want to take our guns, but the Constitution is clear. Our right to bear arms will not be infringed. So read that for yourself. And to go along with the Constitution, something very exciting is happening. Dan, when you sent me the video about this, I think I got goosebumps. And because it's so amazing, I'm reading my notes here. There's a new exhibit in Washington, D.C. at the old executive office. It's a whole exhibit about the Constitution, our history as a country. So, so exciting. And it's available to anyone. Dan's going to put the link in our show so you can go and see it for yourself. It's been made available to schools all over the country for free. It's put on by Prager University. At least they are the ones who have produced this. And Jill Simonet is the person who is talking about this. And guys, oh my goodness, I'm so excited to see something like this, because people can go in there, they can look at the exhibit, they can see all the presidents, they can see the people who have had an amazing impact on our country. And with our 250-year anniversary coming up next year, this is phenomenal. Our president is blowing my mind all the time. And so please click on that link and watch that, and you'll see just how important the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the founding documents are to our country. And that's the reason we're the only republic that has lasted 250 years. That's right. How important this is. And that's how it is so important that we know these things so we can keep our republic. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. And the only way we can keep it is making sure we know what this says. We're reading it. We're sharing it with our children, our family, blah, blah, blah. You know what I think. Okay. That was quick.
Yes.
We're gonna move on to our first segment in our show. Even though that was quick, I want you to know it's very, 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 very important. Maybe we should do a whole show one day just about the founding documents, Dan. Maybe we should do that. Maybe around July, we should do that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Part one, Democrats abandoning women.
Yeah. Anyway. So guess what is happening, Dan? Guess what is happening? The Democrats have finally admitted that they are abandoning women when it comes to sports. Well, they're abandoning us in a lot of ways, but we'll take what we can get, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know, and we have talked about on our shows many, 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 many times, that men are participating in women's sports, and it's demoralizing to women. And the reason I say that, I was an athlete. I was not on the college level like my husband was, where he had scholarships and money for school and all that. However, sports is very important to women as well, to girls, to those who are coming up through the ranks who want to get scholarships, because now scholarships are available to women in sports. And now we have men trying to take it over. And they're walking away with medals and trophies. I mean, okay, Dan, I know there's a difference between men and women. I just know that, you know. Men are inherently stronger than women. Don't be offended, ladies. Don't be offended. But they are physically stronger than, I would say, 95% of men are much stronger than women. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So people say, well, it's transgender men. That does not take out their physicality. It does not take out the abilities they have that women do not. I don't care how, I'm trying to say this nicely. I don't care what you chop off, put on, or try to paste together. What you came here as, that's what you are.
Right.
And when these men, and I'm going to call them men because you're not a woman, when you're participating in sports that are geared toward the female physique, the female abilities, and you come in as a male saying that you are a woman. And here's the kicker. This is what a lot of people don't know, Dan. Many of these guys have never gone through any type of transition. They just say they're a woman. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you think for one moment that the average, I mean, I'll say the above average woman who participates, especially in college sports, can be the lowest of the low man, it's going to be a stretch. It just is. It's a physical thing. Am I off the rails here?
No, because I want to ask you a question about what you were saying there. If I have any shortcomings, and I probably do, but if I have any shortcomings, is I still can't figure out why it is so important to the Democratic Party to support transgender males at the expense of females. I don't understand that. Everything you said about strength and size and all that, that's all true. But at the same time, where they're trying to support transgender males, they are admitting that they have not done a very good job of attracting Black and Hispanic males back to the party, and especially as it relates to the election in 2024.
Yes.
Blacks, males, and Hispanic males voted in significant numbers for Donald Trump. So I don't understand why they are anti-male and want to create and allow transgender males to function in female sports, and at the same time are realizing that they're one of the reasons they lost the election was because they lost the support of the Black males and the brown males. What am I missing here?
Well, I think the biggest thing is they're totally, totally oblivious to what goes on in America. They sit in their forums and they talk amongst themselves, and they think because they're 20, 30, 50, maybe even 100 people all agree that transitioning people is a possibility, that the whole of America agrees with them. That's how these people think. And I've said this before, what I'm getting ready to say, it's even deeper than that. I truly believe a lot of this is an anti-Christ type of propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
People believe this stuff. And they want us to believe and agree with them that God does make mistakes. Okay. So if God can make a mistake, then I can do whatever I want to do. I can be whatever I want to be. The bottom line is this: God made male and God made female. And he made us to complement each other and to procreate. If you are transitioning or doing all the other stuff that they're saying that is a possibility, there is not going to be any procreation. Because every person on this planet has been given giftings and abilities by their creator God. And when you start messing with that and saying, oh, well, if you want to be a woman, you can be a woman. If you want to be a man, you can be a man, but you were born a male or a female and they want to switch that, that says God does not know what he's doing. And that, I think, is the, what's the word? That's the foundation of this whole thing. They don't say it, but it is the foundation. Because if you could take God out of everything, and you know that started back in the 60s, if you can take God out of everything, then he is irrelevant. And I think that's their foundation. Because you and I both know you cannot change XX and XY. You can't. It's
Right.
impossible. And so they know this too, but they're going to push it as much as they can to train people's brains to think we do not need God.
Recently, we had a situation where the gentleman who was trying to assassinate one of the Supreme Court justices, Mr. Kavanaugh. He got an 8-year sentence, where the one who tried to assassinate Trump got a 30-year sentence, and the Justice Department is appealing that. But when he went in for his sentencing, he said to the judge, "I'm transgender. I want to be sent to a women's prison." And but we also know that the pregnancy rate in women's prisons has accelerated as more transgender males are going into the prisons.
It's
So.
another way for I'm trying to be really nice.
No.
It's another way for these men who cannot form relationships get in the prisons. And that's what they do. I'm sorry. That's just how I see it. I could be totally off base here. We have opened a door to increase the violence on women with this. And if people are moms, if you're not seeing it, please, please, please do your own research. Have an open mind and really delve into this because women are being attacked on every side. And I have granddaughters, and I'm telling you, I'm going to fight this stuff.
Yeah,
That's just me personally.
we got about 30 seconds, but just let me follow up with what you're saying is that we seem to have a lot of evidence that these transgender surgeries are not relieving the problems that people have when they think they're transgender. So they're going through this radical change in their physical approach, their physical look, and their dependency on chemicals to try and keep that look that will be with them for the rest of their lives. We're going to have to take a break. And we'll be right back with Vicki in segment two for this break.
All right.
A Trilogy Plus One by Dan Perkins, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile.
Dan, you owe me a good night's sleep, and I'm really aggravated about it. I read your books, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile, and I got to tell you, I no longer have to take any no-dos or anything like that when I want to stay awake. I just think about the plots of your books. They are absolutely frightening, devastating, in fact. But some of the best reads I've ever had. And I urge everyone to take a look at it. It's a plausible scenario and one that every American should be absolutely aware of.
Available at Amazon.com.
Welcome.
Part two, an increase in crime.
Welcome back to Moms Across America. This is our second segment, and we're going to be talking about a pattern of an increase in crime, violence, not crime, violence. In less than 10 months since President Trump has been in office, and let me read these really quick, and then we're going to get into some of the bare bones of this. So this is some of the this I think I have 10 things here that has happened, seven, excuse me. since President Trump has been in office. And we're going to talk about why that's happening. So first, we have the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Then we have Jay Jones, who's running for, what is he running for?
Attorney General for Virginia.
Attorney General. Attorney General for Virginia, Jay Jones, two bullet scandal, where he talked about killing his opponent. Then we have the
can I just jump in there for just a second?
Sure.
Because what they're saying about Jones and what Jones is trying to say is that he made a mistake in sending out the email. Okay. He didn't in any way, shape, or form saying that the thought was wrong.
Exactly.
It was just the email went out.
Yes, it should have never gone out.
Right. It wasn't whether he did anything wrong or his thoughts were inappropriate, but when he put it in an email and sent it out, that's when he was wrong. He was wrong when his mind said, I need to put two bullets in the head of my competitor.
Unbelievable.
Kill his children.
Unbelievable.
Yes, I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, you're fine. And then third, we have the Dallas anti-ICE shooting. My goodness, it's like, come on, guys. Why are we trying to protect our country and you're going to go against ICE. Unbelievable to me. That's just amazing. And Kilmar Abrego Garcia. So this is a Salvadorian illegal and alleged MS-13 gang member on trial for human smuggling and conspiracy. Goodness gracious.
And this is the guy who was Father of the Year in Maryland. I'm being a little facetious, okay. But
unbelievable, some of this stuff.
But think about this. Think he was arrested, deported, brought mm-hmm. back, arrested again, now being tried, and he'll most likely lose and be deported, not back to El Salvador, but maybe someplace in Africa. My point is, look at the amount of time, energy, and effort, and money that has been spent on this one person.
Our tax dollars, mind you. Right. Our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. Jeez. And then you have Luigi Mangione supporters calling for more assassinations. Seriously? Why are they not in jail? Anyway.
He's the guy who walked up on the streets of New York and shot the executive from an insurance company, health insurance company, killed him.
Yeah, Brian Thompson. Yeah.
And had marriage requests by the dozens when he was in prison because he's such a fine-looking young man and should be eligible for parole. And people, women were falling all over him.
Sick. I'm sorry, but that's sick. And then we have the John Brown Gun Club, where a leftist group in Georgetown University called the John Brown Gun Club sparked concern over flyers distributed on campus, get this, celebrating Kirk's death with the message, "Hey, fascist, catch."
Seriously. Now, most people, Vicki, I apologize for interrupting you again.
No, you're fine.
Nope, most people do not know who John Brown is.
Mm-hmm.
John Brown was a prominent figure in the slavery movement during and before the Civil War. And he was a vicious tyrant and he killed people, but he was a person, not a great person, but like many people who were in the slavery movement, they became historical figures of interest to people throughout the centuries of our country. And this club, this John Brown Club, is a radical group that wants to change, like other people, wants to change America. But their origins go back to John Brown from the Civil War.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we all know about the Tesla vandalism that has happened earlier in the year. I don't know how many of the Teslas were messed up, but that's a lot of money. And
well, you had cars that were destroyed. Mm-hmm. You had charging stations were destroyed, and you had sales and service facilities across the country that were attacked and burned. So it wasn't just cars. It was the cars, the chargers, and the distribution centers, the sales showrooms, and maintenance players that were damaged. And it wasn't against the car.
Mm-mm.
It was a punishment for Elon Musk being the czar who began to cut back on spending and identifying the abuse of spending in our country.
That's right. Have you noticed a pattern here, Dan? I've noticed a pattern. So when the Constitution says that we can peacefully assemble, when you see, I'll call it the right, when they do protesting, they're walking with their signs, they may be singing songs, holding hands, loving on each other. I don't see them setting fire to anything, breaking out windows, trashing businesses. But every single time the left peacefully assembles and protests, something is getting burned. Cars are being trashed. Businesses are being destroyed. There's all kinds of theft. Am I saying something wrong?
No, I think the greatest example of what you're talking about was I'll never forget this, was the video of the reporter for CNN standing in Portland with a building behind him on fire.
Yeah.
Saying that this was a mostly peaceful protest.
Mostly peaceful protest. And they called us, they call the right the fascists. I'm like, come on, man. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Are the American people really, really, really not seeing this? Because I feel like the biggest tool in the toolbox for the Democrats, well, one of the biggest, one is fear. That's like their ultimate one. But the second one is, man, they can gaslight like nobody's business, where they will put something on another individual and they're standing there doing it and we're seeing them do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're watching you. We see what you're doing, but you're trying to say it. Someone else is doing it, and it's someone else's fault. Where is there something so diabolical in these people that it just comes out of them, or is it truly, truly they're just being manipulated?
Well, I think that you're raising a very important issue, because there's another story that I looked at this week. And that's the CEO and founder of Rent-A-Protester was talking about the 400% increase in demand for hired protesters to go to these various protests around the country. And we're finding more and more examples where the people who are protesting are the ones that are being paid to protest. And there are a much smaller number of people who have a particular passion about an issue that are assembling in the protest. So right. when you're communicating through the mainstream media, and you're communicating the displeasure of, quote, Americans who are disappointed in what the Trump administration is doing on immigration or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we find out that the left has been hiring through intermediaries, professional protesters who go city to city and set up their command posts and the activities that they're going to do. And they go in and destroy something, set something on fire. And then when we're done with that, where's the next assignment? Where's the next paycheck coming from?
That's right.
Americans are still not, I don't think, keenly aware of the impact of paid protesters in what's going on in these protests in our cities. They think, because that's the way the media reports it, that these are local citizens who are angry about a particular issue, when in fact the vast majority are hired people to be there.
And they advertise it on Facebook and all sorts of places for people to be paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, if you need some money, why not? Go protest and rah-rah for something you have no idea what you're doing. But let's go back to the fact that President Trump has been in office for less than 10 months. And I think the Democrats are trying to uptick what's happening as far as violence in the streets because they want to make him look bad. I think that's part of it. But the other part, they just have Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, this man has been in office for less than 10 months. He has been a key participant in stopping eight, that's what I said, eight different wars throughout the world. He is making inroads with every minority group in America. He's trying to clean up the streets in America where crime has been just horrendous. I mean, people are even asking him to come to Colorado because crime is getting that bad. And it is amazing to me that people are still saying, oh, he's the worst president we've ever had. What are you looking at? I think you're just looking at CNN and NBC and all those other left-leaning propagandist media outlets who are just feeding us a bunch of mess, a bunch of lies, a bunch of false information.
Yep.
President Trump has sat down with more people to try to talk and get through issues than any president I remember in my lifetime. And I don't understand how someone can be so twisted in their minds that they refuse to see it. And for what reason? I mean, what do you get out of that? What does a person get out of something like that?
They get an outlet for their hate that they have for Donald Trump. I did an interview last week or so with a woman I've had on the show many, many times. She is a forensic psychiatrist, and she's an expert witness in testimony. She's written a document that she is sending to the American Psychiatric Association. She wants Trump derangement syndrome to be a recognized mental health issue.
Wow.
And she's hopeful that there's a conference later in the year, and she hopes to go and make the pitch for her classification. But she says it's destroying lives, it's destroying families. We have to do something about it. And we have to be able to get treatment for these people because that hatred is dangerous. And I think that as the idea that we're seeing more and more violence is a function of what's happening with Trump derangement syndrome, is that it's causing more and more people to become more and more violent in their actions tied to whatever it is they believe. And with that, we have to take a break, and we'll be back with Vicki in a few moments on segment three.
Dan Perkins, the author of Sad Eyes Book 2. In book one, we watch her grow up and develop into an intelligent, practical, and beautiful woman. She knows what she wants to be, and she will not let anything happen that will stop her from reaching her goal. Book two has many challenges she faces during World War II. People say it's hard to put down. You can get Sad Eyes Book 2 at Amazon.com or JanCarrollPublishing.com and ask at Jan Carroll for a special deal if you buy both books. Rutgers considering eliminating a Turning Point campus group.
Hello, moms, and we're back with segment three, and we're going to talk a little bit about Rutgers University has come out wanting to disband Turning Point USA on their campus, which to me is absolutely ridiculous. But also, if you did not see it, go out and research, and you can see the President's Medal of Freedom that was given to Charlie Kirk on yesterday, which was also his birthday. And there was a lot of celebrations that were going on throughout the country for his birthday. I mean, he would have been 32 yesterday. I heard him speak at an event that when I was the county party was done in 2019, he was 25 years old, and he was phenomenal then. You know, just hearing a 25-year-old speak the way he did was incredible. I remember one of the things that I said after he had finished his speech and I got up on stage to finish up the program. I said, folks, if that did not get a fire burning under you, your wood's wet. Because that, because I'm telling you, it was a, I can't tell you what the man said, you know, going back that many years. However, it was so inspiring. You could feel it in the room. And so he definitely, I wish he could have gotten it while he was living. I'll say it that way. But what Rutgers University's, there was a professor who signed an online petition that seeks to disband the school's Turning Point USA chapter from campus. And the reason they want to do that, they say that it is promoting hate. Okay. Well, here's the problem with that. I have gone through and I've watched some of his speeches. I didn't watch him all the time, but I would see different things that he was doing on college campuses, you know, periodically. So I decided to go back and just listen to some of them. And I got to tell you, I don't know if most of us could have done what he did. This was a man that sat on that stage and let these young people come up to the mic and say whatever they wanted to say. He didn't have to agree with it. He did not have to like it, but he let them say their piece. And then
Article
after
one.
Yes.
Article one.
Article one in our Constitution. And here's the part that used to disturb me more than anything in all the videos that I watched. There was always at least one person that would get up and call that man everything but a child of God. And he would just smile and he'd look at him and he'd totally ignore what they would say and go back to their first point about why do you hate transgender people? And he would say, when have I ever said that? He would not try to destroy the other person and say, oh, that's a stupid comment. Get out of here. That he never did that. He would listen. Now, sometimes he would get a little heated because what they were pushing was mess.
Right.
He said, and he would say, I'm not going to agree with your mental illness or something like that, which, you know. So to have that as your whole basis for wanting to get rid of the chapter there, when it is actually giving these college students an ability to say what they believe, right or wrong, and be able to learn how to debate, how to critically think about a subject, how is that hurting anybody?
It also, what it did for those college students is give them a perspective that they weren't seeing in the classroom.
Exactly. And maybe that's why these professors are upset and want to disband it, because they know they're bringing nothing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're bringing nothing to the table, what is the one thing that you do to your opponent? And Charlie talked about this. You try to destroy them, even if it's a lie. Right. So you want to try to destroy your opponent while never giving anything in rebuttal.
I remember I did a similar thing that you did. Spent a couple of evenings, several hours, just going through presentation after presentation after presentation. And one of the interesting themes to me that there seems to be almost at least once in every video, a person who criticized Charlie for being on a college campus and not having a college degree.
Rutgers considering eliminating a Turning Point campus group.
Yes.
And he talked about the corruptions in the colleges and universities and their spending of enormous amounts of money and putting children in deeply in debt. All the things that I've talked about and you've talked about for a long time, but he really represented the opportunities that a person who would have thought that Charlie Kirk at 19 was going to turn out to be the person that he was. It's because he had a passion, a belief in America, a belief in himself, and a belief in the people who desperately wanted to hear not so much what he was saying or believed, but what he believed to be the truth. And as a result, he attracted tens of millions of people. And the philosophy, I believe, is still going to... There were a report recently that 100,000 applications have been submitted for Turning Point chapters. 100,000.
Yes.
And I think that we'll see what happens about their longevity coming into the midterm election next year. If they're still as active that we were when Charlie was alive, then we can assume that the organization is surviving. And if they continue to add tens of thousands of chapters, not only in the United States, but all over the world, we know that the movement has a strong foundation.
Yes. And another aspect about Charlie Kirk was this. He always, always told people how much God loved them,
mm-hmm.
and how he wants them to become believers in Christ. I appreciate that. And right. He's been touted as the youth pastor of America. You know, all these young people becoming engaged. I find it disturbing that a professor would attempt to try and squelch conversation, which was so important to Charlie Kirk and so many of us. Because if we can keep talking and keep putting the ideas out there and learning how to debate what we believe and be able to give good points on how we believe and why, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to keep us from fist to cuffs, I guess you could say, and actually sitting down and having dialogue and looking people in the eye and getting off the stupid technology and looking people in the eye and learning how to have a conversation. Because I got to tell you, there's a lot of young people out there, Dan, they don't even know how to hold a conversation. This right here, these phones, these things right here have become their conversation. And what they're doing, I have literally seen this with my own eyes, where two people, mostly girls, two people are sitting next to each other and they're just texting away. They're texting each other.
Right.
They're not even opening their mouths and talking, and they're just laughing. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? They don't even know how to look an individual in the eye and have a conversation. How to shake a hand and say, how are you? My name is such and such and such.
Right. We have an 11-year-old granddaughter who texts her mother from another room in the house.
Yes. So. And it's happening to all of us. When our grandchildren come over, our oldest granddaughter, she has a phone now. You see how I feel about that. And we're like, okay, baby, it's time to put the electronics away. We have no electronics at the dinner table. They are put away and we are talking. We mm-hmm. are having conversation, teaching them how to look at each other in the eye, how to look at their parents in the eye and have that conversation and learn how to have a firm handshake. This is some of the things that I think came out with Charlie Kirk. He was able to have that dialogue, that eye to eye, that face to face, and meet with these kids and shake their hands and welcome them for being there. This is missing. And for this, what's the professor's name? Mark Bray. He's the professor who wants to get rid of the Turning Point USA. I had to laugh when I read this because I thought, wow. So the Turning Point chapter last week launched its own petition demanding Rutgers fire Professor Mark Bray, and this is his nickname. They call him Dr. Antifa because he is the author of the book Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook, a book that openly calls for militant anti-fascism. And you're going to say Charlie Kirk is the one that's promoting violence?
Mm-hmm.
Man, Dan, y'all know, you know me pretty well by now. that hypocrisy is one of those things that I detest.
Right.
And that is the most hypocritical thing I have read. So you made a handbook for kids to become militant anti-fascist, but you're going to say Charlie Kirk produces violence just sitting on a stage talking to kids.
Right, right. It is amazing. and there's in many cases, some of these people who talk, and I'm not talking about the meetings with Charlie. I'm talking about other people who are supposed to be leaders of movements or parties. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how stupid they are, and how they don't think things through. They live for the moment. They don't understand or want to take a moment to think about what are the ramifications of what I'm saying to people longer term.
I mean, it's just like I've said on our show before. We have people who are in positions of authority who are making bills and signing things into law who never take the time to look at it all the way down the road and see what the ramifications can be with this particular law. And I've talked about the bag law, the 10 cents tax that was put on us here in Colorado, that every time you get a bag in a store, you have to pay 10 cents for that bag because we're trying to protect the oceans. And Colorado is landlocked. If you didn't know that, we don't have oceans. So they don't go down the line to see what this could do if they put it into law. And it goes back to, I taught for 9 years at the University of Phoenix, and the subject matter that I taught was, guess what? Critical thinking. How to look at something critically, think about it, and see what the ramifications could possibly be.
Right, right.
We don't have that enough anymore, Dan, especially in our elected officials. We have got to get back to basics.
Okay, we're going to take a break here, and then we'll come back for the segment four, which is the wrap. We'll be right back with Vicki, as soon as these messages. Take care.
That sound of the emergency squad happens 34 times per hour, 24/7 in the United States, carrying someone who is dying from a drug overdose to the ER. 70% of these runs are people who are dying from the vicious drug called fentanyl. Over the last 10 years, 1 million Americans have died from fentanyl. In 2019, 112,000 children ages 12 and 13 were on opioids. The fentanyl overdose rates are rising 2.5 times faster than that of heroin. Now there is an FDA-approved test for the presence of fentanyl in the system. The test is safe, simple, and 99.5% accurate. In just 5 minutes, you can find out if your child, loved one, or employee is using fentanyl. If you want to save someone's life, go to thefentanyltest.com and learn more about this dangerous drug and how you can get your 5-minute test and keep your child out of that squad.
Part 4, The Wrap.
Welcome back, Moms Across America. This is our fourth segment that is called The Wrap Up. So here we go. So we started talking about women in sports and those transgender individuals who are affecting sports. Dan, it just chaps my hide, as they say in the country, that these men would take so, I don't think most people understand how much this is taking away from girls in sports. Because what you're going to start finding is there will be no girl sports. And what was, I can't even think of what it was now, but the whole thing that was put in place, help me out here, that was put in place for women to be able to participate in sports.
The Title IX.
Title IX, thank you. I knew it was nine. I can't remember what was the whole title. Title IX. It's almost like, why do we even have it now? Mm-hmm. What's the point? Because if you have men that are come in and dominate and call themselves women, there are no women's sports. And I know that they're wanting to put into law, but you still have individual states who are saying, we're not going to follow that.
So I think I agree with you, but I also think there is a purposeful misleading of the American people on this issue.
Yes, I
And
agree with you.
I believe that if you put 100 people off the street and said, "So what do you think about transgender men playing in women's sports and who should pay for the operations if they're going to have them?" The American people would probably say, "Well, it's up to the individuals." But
Problem.
what's hidden in there is the number of people who are transgender who have done nothing. As you pointed out in the first segment, there are men out there who have declared themselves to be transgender, but are not taking any medications. They had no surgery. They just
Nope.
declared themselves to be transgender. And we pointed out that in the case of the trial of the young man who was said he was transgender, who was out to assassinate Judge Kavanaugh and his family, when he went for sentencing, he asked the judge if he could be sent, he could be sent to a women's prison for his time, his 8 years. And
Guess what?
the Justice Department is appealing that. Go ahead.
In Colorado, we have people up at our legislature trying to bring forth a bill that will make it criminal if any individual will address a person who is transgender as their biological sex, that it would be a crime that could put you in jail. That it would be a crime if a transgender male walked into my establishment and said his name was Katie instead of Bob, and I addressed him as sir. A crime. Do you not see a problem with that, people? That's something that they're trying to do. They're trying to criminalize us because we will not fall in lockstep with their mental illness that a man could be a woman and a woman could be a man.
I wonder whether or not many people who are involved in the transgender movement understand or believe that it's a mental illness problem.
I don't think
Not
they do.
a, or not a, not a mental illness, a men, it's not a mental illness problem, it's a physical problem.
Right. Yes. Because, like I said earlier, it doesn't matter how you mangle your body. What you were created and designed by God to be, that's who you are. And you can't change your DNA. You just can't.
Right.
And so I'm saddened that people are going through this. But I cannot, in good conscience, agree with you by addressing you as a female when I'm looking at you and I know you're a man.
Right. I
I can't
wonder,
do it.
I guess I'm giving myself a research assignment here. I'm curious if you have any knowledge, and if you don't, that's okay. I'll do the research. I'm curious. Where is the greatest number of people? Is it females going to males or males going to females?
I think it's probably males going to females. That's my thought. I could be wrong, but I have not researched it. But just seeing what I'm seeing in women's sports, I don't see any women who any women who have transitioned to males who are playing football
Or basketball,
or basketball.
or any male college level sport. They,
You
by and
see any
large,
women in, no women in the NBA? You're not seeing any women in the NBA? Huh.
they had to form a whole new league for women to
Oh
play
my God.
basketball. But my point is, if we're both right that the number of people that are transitioning are males to female, and there's very few females transitioning to males, it seems to me that the whole argument on the left is revolved around males transitioning to females to play in women's sports. I don't hear any discussion about transgender males to female affecting hiring practices or job,
nope.
job opportunity.
Nope.
So it's a sports issue.
Or being discriminated against because they want to play in the NFL or the NBA or on a man's soccer team in college or anything like that. I haven't heard it.
Right. So it's you have to ask yourself, well, then what's it all about? If we don't have females transitioning to males, they're not transitioning to play male sports. Because even if you have mastectomies and hysterectomies, doesn't mean that you're going to be physically in a position to play a male sport.
It's physically impossible. Not on that level, especially not on the college and the professional level. It's not going to happen.
Right.
My thoughts anyway.
So
okay.
This is, as we talked about, this is the Democratic Party focusing on appealing to men at the expense of women.
Yes.
That's what we talked about when we did the segment.
Yep.
And yet they're still trying to figure out a way to re-attract Blacks and Hispanic males back to the Democratic Party, and they're not having any luck. So where are they going with this, dear? What's going to happen here?
We just gonna have to keep exposing it, and hopefully the American people are gonna truly, truly wake up and say enough.
Now, we know that the Supreme Court has said they want to hear a case on this, and they've selected one. So the Supreme Court may speak out this session. In our second segment, we were dealing with violence.
Yes, under the very short time that our president has been in office, he's created peace around the world, and people here at home are trying to make trouble with their different violent things, from Charlie Kirk to just these protests. I think it's going to happen. Is it tomorrow, the 16th, for the No King deal?
This coming Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturday.
Washington and other cities to be named later.
Yeah. And I know they're supposed to be doing it here in my town, and I'm like, okay. And then you have all these different aspects of violence that's just popping up that a lot of it doesn't make sense, but you can tell, and I say this a lot about certain things, you can tell it's kind of scripted because somebody's back there writing all this out saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other. And this is why, because we want to make Trump look bad. Well, I think the American people are going to stand up and say something about that as well, because we're tired of seeing businesses destroyed, people who have worked their lives to build this business, and one evening it's destroyed by a bunch of people who could care less.
You said that in that segment that you're concerned about the level, as I am, the level of violence. And in fact, that I think we both believe that, but crime and violence will be the number one issue on the ballot in the midterm election. Well, I'm curious, you said that you're talking about that in your campaign stops.
Mm-hmm.
What reaction are you hearing from the people that you're talking to?
Well, I'm talking about it because that's what the people are saying. I'm tired of the crime. I'm tired of this. This is not the county that I knew 20 years ago. What is going on? Why are we not fixing this? So I have just been talking about, you know, you can throw money at the police department and the sheriff's department all you want to, but the bottom line is this: there's going to be waste in government. Government is not the answer. As Ronald Reagan said, he said, government is the problem, not the solution.
Mm-hmm.
That's my paraphrase. Because when you start depending on government, you're going to be disappointed. And so one of the things I have been talking about in my campaign, because it's easy for a candidate to get up and say, we have this problem and we have this problem and we need to do this. And they have no answer. They really have no solution. They're just rah, 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 rah. So I've come up with solutions. And one of the solutions that I'm really, really going to push, and I'm hoping to God that I get elected, because I think this is something very important, I know for my county, is a simple thing called Neighborhood Watch. And I know people are going, how is that going to help with crime? I can tell you how. When you live in a neighborhood and you know your neighbors and you're in contact with your neighbor and you're having block parties and you're doing all these things to help each other, and you know when you see something suspicious around your neighbor's house, you're going to respond. You're going to call that neighbor and say, hey, look, something's going on. You need, what do you need? What's happening? Are you aware? That type of thing. I mean, we had some people walk. We have a green belt in behind our house, and we had homeless people walking through our green belt. We'd never seen that before. And everybody on our street was in high alert, and we were watching them. We would go out on our deck and watch them. We didn't say anything. We just watched them. Guess what happened? We saw them leaving our street and going away because we came together and we said, no, not on our watch. A simple thing like everybody leaving their porch light on at night. You know of any burglars that go to lit houses? No, they're going to think twice before they go there. So it's simple things like that that I want to really push in our area. And I think everybody should start looking at Neighborhood Watch. Something so simple, Dan, but it produces so many great results. We have got to take the ownership of where we live and how we want to live and say, no, we're going to watch out for each other. So
that's important. It is. We've got about 45 seconds to talk about Rutgers University, and they're decided, the professor's trying to get rid of Turning Point USA campaign. And
Dr. Bray, well, hopefully what's going to happen is this petition that the Turning Point chapter has put in is going to get rid of this man, since he is an he's teaching kids how to be fascist. And so hopefully he will no longer be a professor, and that the Turning Point USA is going to continue to grow because it is effective. It's effective. It's making a difference in the lives of young people and many, many other people in America.
Okay. Take us home.
All right. Well, moms, it's been a packed day today. We appreciate you coming and joining us on the show. And remember to read that Constitution. And we will see you next time. And remember, moms, you are America. Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back after this message.